Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation outside the 12th Hour in Louisville, York, Texas. Today is October 23, 2016, or the school 23, 2020. We will start our first service today with a song and title, A Higher Ground. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying us on the ground, now plant my feet on higher ground. Now lift me up and let me stand, my feet on heaven's table land, a higher place than I have found, yet that my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay, the doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, that bird my head is higher ground. Now lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Yeah, put my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts set me a hurl. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Now lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found, yet plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam a glory bright, but still I pray till heaven I found, now lead me on to higher ground. Now lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found, up at my feet on higher ground. Yahweh's covenant with Abraham, part 2. We're going to continue on our study with the Abrahamic covenant. And we're going to read a statement from this book, The Last Gospel, that I have here by the Seventh-day Adventist Layman's Movement out in California. On page 27 of the little booklet, which they're quoting from the Shepherd's Rod, the title of this is called Yahweh's Plan for Placing Israel in the Promised Land. And it starts with, Yahweh had promised to be their Elohim, to take them to himself as a people, and to lead them to a large and good land. In a marvelous manner, he had brought them out from their bondage in Egypt, that he might elevate and ennoble them, and make them a praise in the earth. Elohim was bringing them from a state of degradation and fitting them to occupy an honorable place among the nations and receive important and sacred trust. You'll find that written in Patriarchs and Prophets by Ellen G. White, page 292. It says, for the children of Israel were to occupy all the territory which Yahweh appointed them. Those nations that reject the worship and service of the true Yahweh were to be dispossessed. In other words, he started with giving Israel a portion of land. And then, as they occupied that land and fulfilled Yahweh's keeping his commandments on everything, then he would enlarge their borders and they would possess all the nations around them as well. Let's go ahead and read. But it was Yahweh's purpose that the revelation of his character through Israel should be drawn unto him. To all the world, the gospel invitation was to be given. Prophets in Kings 19. Yahweh had placed his people in Canaan as a mighty breastwork to stay the tide of moral evil, that it might not flood the world. Patriarchs and Prophets 5:44. Through the teaching of the sacrificial service, Yahshua was to be uplifted before the nation, and all who would look unto him should live. All who, like Rahab the Canaanite and Ruth the Moabitess, turned from idolatry to the worship of the true Yahweh, were to unite themselves with his chosen people. As the numbers of the Israel increased, they were to enlarge their borders until their kingdom should embrace the entire world. Now you'll find that in the Prophets and Kings, page 19. So while I've got the book here in front of me, let's turn to Prophets and Kings, page 19, and let's read that. It says, the children of Israel were to occupy all the territory which Yahweh appointed them. Those nations that rejected the worship and service of the true Yahweh were to be dispossessed. But it was Elohim's purpose that by the revelation of his character through Israel, men should be drawn unto him. And to all the world, the gospel invitation was to be given. Through the teaching of the sacrificial service, Yahshua was to be uplifted before the nations, and all who would look unto him should live. And all, like Rahab the Canaanite and Ruth the Moabitess, turned from the idolatry unto the worship of the true Elohim. Were to unite themselves with his chosen people. As the numbers of Israel increased, they were to enlarge their borders until their kingdom should embrace the entire world. Now, what is that telling us? I've always wondered why Israel, to be the greatest nation on earth, why did it have to have such a small portion of land appointed unto it? Now I know. That was just the starting point for Israel. And if they would be faithful, they would occupy then, they would take in people from other nations. And that was proven by Ruth the Moabitess that forsook her people and went with her mother-in-law, Naomi, back to the land of Israel. She says, your people will be my people. Well, and then Rahab the harlot that was living in Jericho, when Jericho was overthrown, she was a Canaanite. She was not an Israelite. But she wanted to join the camp of Israel. And so she asked the spies when they came into Jericho 40 years before they overthrew Jericho, she says, will you remember me and my family when you come to overthrow Jericho? And they told her that they would. And she said, you put a red scarf in your window, because she was a harlot, and that would be a sign that we will spare your house. and your family when we come back to overthrow Jericho. So Jericho was overthrown 40 years later when the spies and the army of Israel came back. And Rahab's house is the only house left standing in Jericho when it was overthrown. She was the only household in the lives that were saved was in the household of Rahab, of Canaanite. So, Yahweh means what he says. Let's go ahead and read now. But ancient Israel did not fulfill Yahweh's purpose. Yahweh declared, I have planted thee a noble vine, holy a right seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and Judah, men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more for my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste, it shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that there rain no rain upon it. For he looked for judgment, but behold oppression, for righteousness, but behold a cry. Jeremiah 2:21, Hosea 10:1. Isaiah 5:3-7. Yahweh had through Moses sit before his people the result of unfaithfulness. By refusing to keep his covenant, this is the Abrahamic covenant, they would cut themselves off from the life of Yahweh, and his blessings could come upon them. At times, these warnings were heeded, and rich blessings were bestowed upon the Jewish nation and through them upon surrounding people. But more often in their history, they forgot Yahweh, lost sight of their high privilege as his representatives. Well, the Seventh-day Adventists proved that as the spiritual Israel today. They proved exactly to be just like their forefathers. They forgot Yahweh. They turned to their own vain janglings and disbeliefs in the truth, and so the rest is history. They robbed him of the service he required of them, and they robbed their fellow men of the religious guidance and a holy example. They desired to appropriate unto themselves the fruits of the vineyard over which they had been made stewards. Their covetousness and greed caused them to be despised even by the heathen. Thus the Gentile world was given occasion to misinterpret the character of Yahweh and the laws of his kingdom. With the Father's heart, Yahweh bore with his people. He pleaded with them by the mercies given and mercies withdrawn. Patiently he set their sins before them and in forbearance waited for their acknowledgement. Prophets and messengers were sent to urge his claim upon the husbandmen, but instead of being welcomed, these men of discernment and spiritual power were treated as enemies, for the husbandmen persecuted and killed them. Yahweh sent still other messengers, but they received the same treatment as the first, only that the husbandmen showed still more determined hatred. Now this proved itself out with the Adventists. In our day, starting in 1844, they showed their infighting abilities by forming a double leadership for the Seventh-day Adventists, and the stronger team took over the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and that was your General Conference leaders. Okay, it says, for the withdrawal of the divine favor during the period of the exile led many to repentance. Yet after they returned unto the land of the promise, The Jewish people repeated the mistakes of the former generations and brought themselves into the political conflict with surrounding nations. The prophets whom Yahweh sent to correct the prevailing evils were received with the same suspicion and scorn that had been accorded the messengers of the earlier time. And thus, from century to century, the keepers of the vineyard added to their guilt. The goodly vine planted by the divine husbandman upon the hills of Palestine was despised by the men of Israel and was finally cast over the vineyard wall. They bruised it and trampled it under their feet and hoped that they had destroyed it forever. The husbandman removed the vine and concealed it from their sight. Again he planted it, but on the other side of the wall and in such a manner that the stalk was no longer visible. The branches hung over the wall and grafts might be joined to it, but the stem itself was placed beyond the power of men to reach or harm. For the special value to Yahweh's church on earth today, the keepers of his vineyard are the messages of counsel and admonition given through the prophets who have made plain his eternal purpose in behalf of mankind. And the teachings of the prophets, his love for the lost race, and his plan for their salvation are clearly revealed. The story of Israel's call, of their successes and failures, of their restoration, is a divine favor, of their rejection of the master of the vineyard and of the carrying out of the plan of the ages by a goodly remnant under whom are to be fulfilled all the covenant promises. This has been the theme of Elohim's messengers unto his church throughout the centuries that have passed. And today Elohim's message to his church unto those who are occupying his vineyard as faithful husbandmen is none other than that spoken through the prophets of old. Send ye unto her a vineyard of red wine. How do Yahweh do keep it? I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day, Isaiah 27:2-3. That Israel hope in Yahweh, the master of the vineyard, is even now gathering from among men of all nations and peoples the precious fruit for which he has long been waiting. Soon he will come unto his own, and in that glad day, his eternal purpose for the house of Israel will finally be fulfilled. He shall cause them that come of Jacob to take root. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. So the Israel of today, this one that has been restored, the very last generation of Israel, the house of David, is entitled the Everlasting Kingdom of Heaven. And it's run by the tribe of Judah, the lawgiver, with Yahshua as the number one king sitting upon the throne of David in this house of David, in this mountain of the house of Yahweh, which is found in Isaiah 2 and Micah 4. This kingdom of Israel will finally realize the success that has been long established for Israel to have all through the centuries. They will finally fulfill the desires and pleasures of heaven and putting down a deep root and spreading out and causing all nations to come unto righteousness. Finally. So now, that finishes my introduction. Now I'm going to go back to this little track, The Last Gospel. Let's look at page 27. The conditions for staying in the land were as follows. And it shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of Yahweh thy Elohim, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Yahweh the Elohim shall sit thee on high above all nations of the earth. And the Yahweh shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Yahweh the Elohim, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them, Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 13. Now it says Israel's response to Yahweh's proposal. When Israel was pitched in the wilderness of the Sinai, Moses went up unto the Yahweh, and the Yahweh called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Yahweh commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, All that the Yahweh has spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Yahweh. Exodus 19:3-8. Israel warned of the consequences of breaking the covenant. What covenant is this? The Abrahamic covenant. If the ancient Israel should disregard the conditions of Elohim's covenant, his blessings would be replaced by curses. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Yahweh the Elohim, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. The Yahweh shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemy. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and shalt be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations, whither the Yahweh shall lead thee. Deuteronomy 28:15-25:37. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Deuteronomy 30:19. Did ancient Israel live up to the conditions of the covenant? As was quoted in the previous paragraph, Moses warned Israel what would be her fate if she failed to live up to the terms of the covenant. In the following passage, the prophet Ezekiel bears record of Israel's tragic fate. Moreover, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. Wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land, and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it, and I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries, according unto their way and according unto their doings. I judged them, and when they entered unto the heathen, whether they went, they profaned my holy name, when they said unto them, These are the people of Yahweh, and are gone forth out of his land. Ezekiel 36:16-20. the spirit of prophecy and the describing the rebellion of the 10 tribe kingdom, and its tragic fate says, the closing years of the ill-fated kingdom of Israel were marked with violence and bloodshed such as never been witnessed even in the worst periods of strife and unrest under the house of Ahab. For 2 centuries and more, the rulers of the 10 tribes had been sowing the wind. Now they were reaping the whirlwind. Those who should have stood before the nations of the earth as the depositories of divine grace dealt treacherously against Yahweh and with one another. Hosea 5:7, broken in judgment, unable to discern the disastrous outcome of their evil course, the 10 tribes were soon to be wanderers among the nations. Hosea 7:9, 8:3, 5:11, 9:17. The iniquity in Israel during the last half century before the Assyrian captivity was like that of the days of Noah and of every other age, when men have rejected Yahweh and have given themselves wholly unto evil doing. The Reubenites and the Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh, with others of the inhabitants of Gilead and Galilee, and all the land of Naphtali, 1 Chronicles 5:26, 2 Kings 15:29, were scattered among the heathen in the lands far removed from Palestine. Prophets in Kings 2:79, 2:81, 2:87. When Samaria was invested by the host of Assyria under Shalmaneser, and in the siege that followed, multitudes perished miserably of hunger and disease as well as by the sword. The city and nation fell, and the broken remnant of the 10 tribes were carried away, captured and scattered in the provinces of the Assyrian realm. Prophets in Kings 2:91. 150 years after the 10 tribe kingdom went into captivity, Judah suffered a similar fate. Daniel 1:1-2. Jeremiah 14:19, 21:7. At the time of the final overthrow of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar, many had escaped the horrors of the long siege, only to perish by the sword of those who still remained. Some, notably the chief of the priests and officers and the princes of the realm, were taken to Babylon and there executed as traitors. Others were carried captive to live in servitude under Nebuchadnezzar and to his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of Yahweh by the mouth of Jeremiah. 2 Chronicles 36:20-21. Prophets in Kings 4:59-4:60. The prophet Daniel, a captive from the 2 tribe kingdom, while serving in the king's palace, realized that 70 years of captivity was nearly over. Note in the following scripture, his heart felt sorrow for the transgression that had caused his people to go into captivity. O Yahweh, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us as confusion of faces as at this day, to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Yahweh, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, that thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem, the holy mountain, because of our sins, and for the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach unto all that are about us. Now therefore, O our Elohim, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary, that is destined. For the Yahweh's sake, Daniel 9:7 and 16:17. When we think of the heights into which Israel could have attained, it is difficult to understand their rebellion. And yet we are told that Elohim's people of today have done worse than they. See Volume 1, Testimonies, page 129. Sin is indeed a mystery. Let us summarize now what we have learned in Chapter 2. In our search of the Scriptures to find where this premillennial kingdom is to be established, it was necessary to review some promises Elohim made unto Abraham and his posterity. The Yahweh promised Abraham that his seed was to multiply and to become as the stars of heaven, the sand of the sea, and the dust of the earth. They were to inherit the land of Canaan forever. The Yahweh chose Moses to deliver the children of Israel from Egypt and into the promised land. Yahweh made a covenant with Israel. If they would obey his statutes and judgments, they were to remain in the land forever. However, as time progressed, both the house of Israel and the house of Judah forsook the Yahweh. They began to walk after the heathen nations around them because they did not live up to the terms of the covenant. They were expelled from the promised land and brought shame and reproach upon Yahweh's holy name. Some Bible students believe that because the ancient Israel and Judah failed, all the covenant promises made to Abraham and his seed are now null and void and will never be fulfilled. Will Yahweh change his original plan for the salvation of a lost world, or does he have someone else through whom he will fulfill the covenant promises? In Chapter 3, we will find the answer to these questions. Heirs according unto the promise. Inspiration states that Yahweh's favor toward ancient Israel had always been conditional on their obedience. Prophets and Kings 2:92. If they were obedient, they would have Elohim's protection and could stay in the land forever, and their kingdom would eventually embrace the whole world. Now this is what we're looking at today now. If this last generation of Israel repents and returns unto Yahweh fully, then this promise made to ancient Israel will be realized unto this here everlasting spiritual kingdom that he's raising up now of the house of David. If they were disobedient, they would lose Elohim's special protective care and would be scattered from one end of the earth even unto the other, Deuteronomy 28:64. And we know that has already happened. That has happened. And that's where they're at today. They're in four corners of the earth. See also verses 65-68 of Deuteronomy 28 and Prophets and Kings, page 19. It should be remembered that the promises and the threatenings of Elohim are alike conditional. That's the Evangelism by Ellen G. White, page 695. The provisions of redemption are free unto all. The results of redemption will be enjoyed by those who have complied with the conditions. Patriarchs and Prophets, that's in page 208. I like this word, provisions of the redemption are free unto all. That's the sanctuary service, folks. That's the provisions made. All are offered salvation, but it's only those who respond and comply with the conditions that will actually obtain salvation. The same principles apply to the promises made to Abraham and his seed. As the Bible says, and if you be Yeshua, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Galatians 3:29. If Yahweh's people today will keep Yahweh's judgments and statutes and walk in his ways, they will be the recipients of the promises made unto Abraham. If faithful, we shall inherit the land of our fathers as promised unto Abraham and his seed. Inspiration states that not by any temporary failure of Israel was the plan of the ages for the redemption of the mankind to be frustrated. Those unto whom the prophet was speaking might not heed the message given, but the purposes of the Yahweh were nevertheless to move steadily forward to their complete fulfillment. Prophets in Kings 7:05-7:06. Let us briefly review Elohim's original plan for the redemption of mankind. Elohim has designed that his people should be the light of the world. From them was to shine forth the glory of his law, as revealed in the life practice for the carrying out of his design. He had caused the chosen nation to occupy a strategic position among the nations of the earth. In the days of Solomon, the kingdom of Israel extended from Hamath on the north to Egypt on the south, and from the Mediterranean Sea to the river Euphrates. Through this territory ran many natural highways of the world, of the world's commerce, and caravans from distant lands were constantly passing to and fro. Thus, there was given unto Solomon and his people opportunity to reveal unto men of all nations the character of the King of Kings, and to teach them to reverence and obey him. To all the world this knowledge was to be given. Prophets in Kings, page 70-71. See also Prophets in Kings, page 19. Elohim had placed his people in Canaan as a mighty breastwork to stay the tide of moral evil, that it might not flood the world. Patriarchs and Prophets 5:44. Being at the crossroads of the world travel, Israel was in an ideal location for sharing the light of the gospel. Now, I want to mention about these crossroads. Solomon had crossroads built out away from Jerusalem for all the travelers coming east and west, north and south. Instead of them having to come into Jerusalem, the city itself proper, he built crossroads and relay stations that they could pick up the necessary merchant, their needs at these relay stations and not just come right into the city of Jerusalem directly. And so by Solomon doing this, he did a great service for the world, the travelers of the world, because they weren't able then, a lot of them were not able or allowed to come into the city of Jerusalem to view all the sacred sites and so forth. They could only see Jerusalem from a distance, because they only were intercepted at the crossroads, the traveler and the merchants. Okay. Now, since ancient Israel failed, will Elohim need to change his original plan, or will he fulfill it through someone else? Through whom will the covenant promises finally be fulfilled? Talking about this Abrahamic covenant. Unto the people of Elohim today, as well as unto the ancient Israel, belong the words written by Moses. Through the spirit of the inspiration, thou art an holy people unto Yahweh the Elohim. Yahweh the Elohim hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Deuteronomy 7:6. That's Testimonies, volume 6, page 12. Note, that the same words spoken by Moses unto ancient Israel applies unto Elohim's people of today. We are numbered with Israel. All the instructions given to the Israelites of old concerning the education and training of their children, all the promises of blessing through obedience are for us. Ministry of Healing by Ellen G. White, page 405. That which Elohim purposed to do for the world through Israel, the chosen nation, he will finally accomplish through his church on earth today. He has led out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, even unto his covenant-keeping people, who faithfully render him the fruits in their season. These witnesses for Yahweh are numbered among the spiritual Israel, and unto them will be fulfilled all the covenant promises made by Yahweh unto his ancient people. Patriarchs, Prophets and Kings, page 713-714. Note, Inspiration said that unto the spiritual Israel of today, Elohim's congregation of Israel, of the spiritual Israel, will be fulfilled all the covenant promises made by Yahweh unto his ancient people. You recall that one of the covenant promises made unto Abraham and his seed was that they were to inherit the land of Canaan forever, Genesis 13:14-16. Now we can begin to see where Elohim's premillennial kingdom is to be established. The location of Elohim's premillennial kingdom revealed. This is where we're at now. The prophet Ezekiel in chapter 36 records ancient Israel's rebellion and their dispersion out of the land. This brought great reproach upon the Elohim's holy name, Ezekiel 36:17-20. The ancient prophet then proceeds to reveal how the Yahweh in our day will exalt his great name before all the nations. Verse 21-23. Behold, but I had pity for my holy name, of which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen, whither you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Yahweh, saith Yahweh Elohim, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. Ancient Israel brought reproach upon Elohim's holy name among the heathen nations wherein they were scattered. In our day, Elohim's name will be sanctified and elevated through modern Israel. Ancient Israel's descendants, 144,000, you recall the 144,000 are composed of 12,000 of each of the 12 tribes of the Israel. See Revelation 7:4-8. For I will take you from among the heathen and get you out of all their countries and will bring you into your own land. Here we see that sometime after ancient Israel was scattered, their descendants will be scattered, or will be gathered out of all countries and taken to the land of their fathers. Even though ancient Israel failed to keep Elohim's covenant, the Abrahamic promises concerning their possession of the land will be fulfilled unto their descendants. The 144,000, a similar situation occurred when those who left Egypt that were over 20 years of age rebelled in the wilderness. Because of their rebellion and unbelief, they were forbidden to enter the land and perished in the wilderness. But their children inherited the promised land. Now let us see what happens after Yahweh gathers the descendants of the 12 tribes into the land of their fathers. Verses 25-27. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you, A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall do them. Here we see that after ancient Israel's modern day descendants are taken back to their own land, they are to go to a cleansing wherein they are given a new heart. Elohim will put his spirit within them, which will enable them to walk in his statutes and keep his judgment. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave unto your fathers, and you shall be my people. That's in verse 28. And I will be your Elohim. Ezekiel was shown that modern Israel, the 144,000, would dwell in the land that was originally given unto their forefathers. That land cannot be heaven, because it is the land which was promised unto Abraham and his posterity, the land of Palestine, Genesis 13, 14, and 15. Verses 29 and 30. I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree, and the increase of the field, that you shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Not only will we have a new heart, but also any uncleanness, disease, will be taken away, Zechariah 13:1. Neither will any famine exist in the promised land. Verses 31-32. Then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourself in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abomination. Not for your sakes do I this, saith Yahweh, Elohim. Be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. After Yahweh has taken us back to the land of our fathers, gives us a new heart, and cleanses us from all disease, then we will remember our past evil ways and feel deeply ashamed that we were not better representatives of our Savior. We will be overwhelmed with His goodness towards us and know that we are not deserving of such blessing. It is not because of any good thing, we have done, that has brought these blessings, but that Elohim must have a people through whom his name shall be sanctified. Verse 33-36. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded, and the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that pass by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and the ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Yahweh, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Yahweh, have spoken it, and I will do it. After we have been cleansed, we shall dwell in the cities. The fact that some of the land is desolate and the cities ruined suggests that prior to our going to the land of our fathers, the land had been under attack. We will discuss this in greater detail in chapter 4. Yahweh will so abundantly bless the land that it will be compared to the Garden of Eden. Elohim does all of these things in the day while the heathen are still here. It is a witness unto them that Elohim has done this to sanctify and glorify his great name, and that the people in the land are his people. This must be done during the probationary time, as it would be of no value to witness to the heathen if their probation had closed. We can rest assured that Elohim will do these things which he has promised. No stronger language is used in the scriptures. Elohim says, I have spoken it, and I will do it. Verse 37-38. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, I will yet, for this be inquired by the house of Israel, to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock, as the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem and her solemn feast. So shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Yahweh. The time will come when the last day descendants of ancient Israel, the 144,000, are going to ask Elohim to fulfill these promises, to do these very things. After he has taken us back to the land of our fathers, he has promised to increase us with flocks of men. John the Revelator also mentions this increase of converts. He first described the 144,000 as the first fruits of the living, and then later mentions a great multitude coming into Elohim's congregation from every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. This great multitude is to be so vast that they cannot be numbered. See Revelation 14:4, Revelation 7, verse 4, 8, and 9. Okay, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, we are told that in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every work be established, 2 Corinthians 13:1. Let us search the scriptures and see if any other Bible writers bear witness unto the same truths as shown unto Ezekiel. Let us turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23. Verses 7 and 8, Therefore, behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that they shall no more say that Yahweh liveth which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Yahweh liveth which brought up and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Plainly, this is the final harvest of the earth, the gathering of the people from all countries. It is the day in which to sing the song of Moses and the Lamb. This is to be the second and last Exodus movement. So great will it be that it will entirely eclipse the movement of Moses' day. Do we then realize that we are on the verge of a new day, a great day for the faithful, and a dreadful one for the unfaithful? Let us continue now in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31. Verse 4, Again, I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shalt go forth in the dances of them that make merry. Yahweh assures his people that though the Gentile nations have torn down their kingdom, he will restore it unto them, and they shall again become a glorious and joyous nation. These promises imply that the people are not now adorned and happy. We may not fully realize this, but Elohim knows better than we do. Verse 5, Thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant and shall eat them as common things. Most of the world thinks that as the 10 tribes, the kingdom of Israel, are lost among the Gentile nations, that their kingdom is forever gone. Yet Elohim, who does according unto his good pleasure, plainly declares that the faithful, after their separation from the unfaithful, when Elohim purifies his congregation, shall be gathered out and brought back into the mountains of Samaria. He promises that they shall plant and eat the fruit of their planting as a common thing. Verse 6, For there shall be a day that the watchman upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, Arise ye, and let us go up to Zion, unto the Elohim of unto Yahweh or Elohim. The future watchmen of Mount Ephraim, rather than separating themselves from those of Mount Zion, as they did anciently, shall gladly lead the laity back to Zion. No longer shall arise the question, Why is it that our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship? John 4:20. Verse 7, For this for this saith Yahweh, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nation. Publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Yahweh, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. For the remnant are those who survive the judgment in the house of Yahweh, the purification of the church, Yahweh's congregation. Bethlehem's people now, while dwelling among the chief of the nation, are urged to proclaim this good tidings in their midst, with singing, gladness, and praise, saying, O Yahweh, save thy people. This truth is now the very present truth, and it is to be proclaimed and heeded, to work and pray unto this end, and is the message of the hour. Verse 8, Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coast of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and her that travaileth with child together, a great company shall return thither. We need not fear, our efforts will not be fruitless. Elohim's sincere people will hear and give heed unto the message of this day, and the Yahweh will thus gather them from the four corners of the earth, be they blind or lame, be they women or children, they shall all return unto the land of their fathers. Inspiration tells us that the prophet Zechariah was also shown this same glorious truth. Zechariah was a witness of the kingdom truth. The work of which the prophet Zechariah writes is a type of the spiritual restoration to be wrought for Israel before the end of time. 4 B.C. 1180. This brings the close of our study. This hour, contact us at the 11th hour call. And it's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with the song. He hideth my soul. Our wonderful Savior is Yahshua my King. A wonderful Savior to me. He hardeth my soul in the cleft of the rock. The rivers of pleasure are seen. He hardeth my soul in the cleft of the rock. The shadows that drop their stealing. He hardeth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. A wonderful Savior is Yahshua my King. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up, and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hardeth my soul in the cleft of the rock. The shadows that drop their stealing. He hardeth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. With numberless blessings each moment he crowns, and filled with his fullness divine. I sing in my rapture, O glory to Yah, for such a Redeemer as mine. He hardeth my soul in the cleft of the rock. The shadows that drop their stealing. He hardeth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and
me there with his hand. When clothed in his brightness transported I rise, to meet him in the clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll share with the millions on high. He holdeth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows a drop thirsty land. He holdeth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand.